On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball surges, men's basketball struggles, and Shane Beamer is in the market for a new OC. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 110 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And have we come down at all, Gamecock family? Have we come down from the two-week high that we've had from Gamecock football? I mean, I think I have, but let me just say, like, my mood has just been happy all the time. Doesn't matter. You get slammed at work. That's all right. You know, it's our state now. You get, you know, you stub your toe. Back-to-back top 10 wins. It's all good. It's just so cool. It's a fun, fun time, and it's just exciting. It's exciting to be a Gamecock here. Have a fun episode here. Starting that transition where, you know, we do have some football news to review, exciting football news to review, but really starting to hone in on basketball here. So we are going to start with a week in review here, starting with Tuesday. The women's basketball team, they sneakily had a very big time matchup, and they beat number 15 UCLA at home 73-64. And yeah, I mean, hosting a top 15 team, a team that, hey, you know, it's a school that has a history of good teams on both the men and women's side. So really cool to see. I just feel like it almost got lost in the shuffle of just with all the excitement and all the content that was coming out from the football program. It was a real quick turnaround. Hey, Dawn Staley and team are hosting the UCLA Bruins, but here we are again with an early win from South Carolina in this very competitive non-conference matchup. And yeah, again, they're coming out on top. And this was the type of stuff we saw last year where that team was cruising, but they had these early matchups that I felt like would prepare them for these tournament teams down the line where maybe it's not an SEC matchup who you're used to seeing, right? They've played Stanford already. They played UCLA. They played Maryland, I think, earlier this year. So you're getting that exposure to other programs, other different styles of play, and teams who, frankly, you might meet late in March. So I think it's great to see. But this win, you know, despite the outcome, it did not come easy. No, did not. UCLA was leading after the half, actually, and then Dawn Staley had to rally the troops and ultimately did with a huge second half and a big-time fourth quarter. Some player highlights from the game here. Aaliyah Boston, once again, doing Aaliyah Boston things. Death, taxes, and Aaliyah Boston double-doubles. 18 points and 10 rebounds. Camila Cardozo with 16 points off the bench and a highlight-worthy block. I believe SEC Network tweeted it, but it's out there, y'all. She chases this down and then, whoop-pah, slaps it. It was really, really fun to see. The women's next game is Saturday, December 3rd, at home against University of Memphis. Memphis is 4-3 on the year, coming off back-to-back losses. I'm going to be honest, though, y'all. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know anything about women's basketball at Memphis. But my gut tells me that if South Carolina plays how South Carolina tends to play, we're going to be just fine there. And then Wednesday, the men's basketball team unfortunately took the loss to George Washington 79-55. And ugh, this was a tough one. There's just no other way to put it. I know we're all feeling very patriotic with the World Cup going on right now, but I did not want to lose to George Washington here. But they led big at the half, George Washington did, and honestly, they never looked back. And Coach Paris, you know, he was not bashful in his post-game remarks. He said that the competitive fire, the competitive spirit, it just wasn't there. And he specifically said, like, these guys need to play with that fire and guys need to step it up. So very early in his tenure, calling out his players, you're seeing that he's not going to be afraid to do that. He might not do it on the sideline and call them mother effers like we were used to seeing, but clearly not afraid to use the press as a way to maybe motivate his team. And I haven't really had the chance to dive into his tenure yet in men's basketball yet because of football. But, you know, since basketball season started, it's kind of been a tough go at it. Like, it's kind of been a tough start to the Lamont Paris era, especially it was really after that big win against Clemson. This team got there, they started off 1-0, then they beat Clemson 2-0, and kind of since then, real touch and go, but, you know, couple bad losses, and, you know, this was to be expected, though, right? I mean, I had hopes, but a lot of the expectation going into this year was, can it pass the eye test, right? I didn't want to hang a win expectation on this team. This was a roster that basically was gutted and had to be patched together, rebuilt in just a couple of months. They've dealt with some injuries here and there, but I don't know. This is a tough loss. You know, you really don't want to see your team lose by that much to a team like that. You want to see them more competitive. Some player highlights from this matchup here. GG Jackson with 11 points and 6 rebounds. GG actually took to Twitter to apologize for the team's effort from this game. So the freshman is leading on and off the court. Such a good guy. And Chico Carter actually led the team with scoring with 13 points. Their next game is also on Saturday, taking on Georgetown at noon in Georgetown. Georgetown is currently 4-4 on the year, and they average about 10 more points per game than Carolina. So basically, if you're the Gamecocks, you're going to need to show more of that fire and ultimately need to get more contributions from up and down the roster, right? Outside of those couple of known playmakers, can you get some big-time contributions? But it's fun. I mean, Saturday, out of nowhere, has turned out to be just an amazing A1 sports game. Buckle up, get your ass on the couch, get a fridge full of drinks, a closet full of snacks. Closet full of snacks? I guess pantry. Yeah, not closet. I mean, you can keep snacks in your closet. I mean, well, why not? A little some reserve chips. But Saturday, you got the U.S. World Cup, college football championship games, and now both South Carolina basketball programs in action as the cherry on top. But, you know, I mentioned college football there. So in that same vein, we do have to talk about the big, big news out of the football program, and that is that early this week, Marcus Satterfield left the program to take the offensive coordinator job at Nebraska under Matt Rhule. And, you know, it was funny when that news broke, because here we are coming off of two historic program-changing wins, potentially, with an offensive output that we had only dreamt about from this guy, right? But honestly, this is the best of both worlds. You know, I don't think Shane Beamer wanted to see this guy like take a stumble in the coaching ranks. But he gets to go to Nebraska, a very respectable program, with an offensive coordinator job under Matt Rhule, who he has worked for in the past. And meanwhile, though, this allows Shane Beamer to course correct. It was clear that despite these last two games, that the body of work from this guy was just inconsistent. And the underlying theme was just the inability to consistently keep your best playmakers involved. We saw game plans fall flat on their face in big moments. And it was a great redemption arc for Marcus to have these last two games and have the offensive output that we did. It's a great redemption arc. And I think now a lot of fans are sending him off with thanks and well wishes instead of running him out of town like we were ready to after Florida, you know. And so for Marcus Satterfield, it's thank you for the steady hand when we needed it. You know, Beamer was in a bind trying to build that first staff. Marcus Satterfield took the risk, got us to a bowl game year one with four quarterbacks, whatever it was. This year was a huge, huge part in some of the best wins in recent memory. So best of luck to you, Marcus. Have fun in Lincoln, but see ya. So now all eyes of the Gamecock community are on Shane Beamer as he has a huge, huge decision and ultimately a very, very important hire to make. And, you know, what's cool about this is that Shane Beamer, in just 2 years, is in the complete opposite position than he was in when he originally made this hire. He has legitimized himself as a head coach. The roster has depth and recruiting momentum. The program has been elevated and coming off historic wins and a good season. And on top of that, South Carolina is now a proven destination for transfers, right? It's really the embodiment of to the victor belong the spoils, right? And this is the first time that in modern Gamecock history, where a big-time premier offensive coordinator search will take place, and where ultimately someone fitting that description will come. Because the fact is that Beamer is in the perfect position to hire a legit, proven, experienced OC for this opening, right? You're not bringing in some guy calling plays for the first time. You're not going to call on some guy to make a step up from a lesser conference and ask him to call plays in the SEC. You're not going to take a chance on a guy who hasn't called plays in a couple years and can just dust off the old playbook, right? Beamer can go out and find somebody with a body of work that is proven, who he can trust to run the offense and recruit as they see fit. And I think that that's ultimately what he wants to do. I do think he did that largely with Sat. Maybe towards the end it changed a little bit, but Beamer does not want to have his fingerprints all over somebody else's game plan. You know, he wants to give the keys to an offensive coordinator and say, hey, you know more about this than I do. I trust you. Go out there and put up some points. You know what I mean? So some names to keep an eye on for y'all. And now, huge disclaimer, as much as I want to have inside information, and as much as I like want to like become that guy who can break some news, like I'm just not there yet. I'm sitting there drinking a beer just like y'all are thinking, who would be a good OC for us? Cruising Twitter just like all y'all. Someone out there has inside info, shoot me a DM. We'll hang out. But so first name here, Kendall Briles, current OC at Arkansas, but he's had stops elsewhere at some big time schools, including Florida State. And simply put, his offenses are solid, right? He's not this guy that has constantly lit up scoreboards every game, everywhere he's went, but where he's gone, they've produced solid, consistent offenses and have won big games under him. And I think low-key this guy might be the fan favorite and might be the leader in the clubhouse. And what's nice with him is that, again, you're getting immediate SEC experience, but also big-time Power 5 experience. Next name I got here is Graham Harrell. He's the current OC at West Virginia. Now, it's weird because a lot of people just assumed that the West Virginia head coach was going to get fired. Turns out he's coming back, I guess, head scratcher, but whatever. Harrell comes from the Mike Leach school of thought, runs an air raid. That'd be a lot of spread him out, throw it. Next name here is Phil Longo. Now, he's the current OC at North Carolina, and honestly, this one seems a bit of a reach to me as things are going so well up at UNC, and I could also see him maybe wanting to just stay there and scheming a little bit, aiming to eventually take over as the head coach, right? He also brings more of that air raid attack, and I mean, you've seen it over the last couple of years at UNC. They have done quite well, and especially this year, have put up a hell of a lot of points. So definitely a name to keep an eye on, and obviously he knows the Carolinas well and could recruit very well in our region. But of course, you know, there's going to be guys that come in and out and could emerge as a favorite and whatnot, but all of a sudden, there has been a lot of smoke for Dan Mullen being a candidate. That's right, that Dan Mullen, former head coach at Florida and Mississippi State, who is very well known for being a great offensive mind. And as fun as this one is to think, I don't know, this one feels like a real, real outside chance, but who knows? You know, I mean, this would bring Mullen back to coaching college football. Right now, he's just an analyst. And this would be a hire that would send shockwaves around the league and around the country, mind you. I mean, it would be very electric, and he's proven to run very high-powered offenses. But my biggest question with him would be, how fast would he want to bolt for a new head coaching gig? I don't think he's in the business of trying to become an OC long-term. I would imagine he wants to be a head coach again. So assuming he does a good job at USC, how quickly would he leave, right? I mean, if it's 1 or 2 years, that would obviously mean we kicked ass for those 2 years. So yeah, it could be worth the trade, but definitely something to consider if you're Beamer, because something he said is he can't just worry about next year and the players on the roster right now. He needs to worry about the future of the program longer term. And of course, there's turnover and guys get job offers. That's the nature of it. But if I'm Shane, I do want to try to keep someone around who maybe isn't trying to jump ship right away. You know what I mean? You look at a guy like Clayton White, who came to USC. Granted, it was a step up for him, but you know, he'll be entering his third year right now, and hopefully that's someone that can hang around with us for quite some time. But it's certainly going to be fun to watch. I mean, you're scrolling Twitter, you're reading all the articles, you're tracking freaking planes leaving in and out of Columbia. It's just so fun, just chasing the internet rumors down all the rabbit holes. It's a great time. So I'd like to think this hire gets made sooner rather than later, just because of the transfer portal. You want to know who's your coach, all that jazz. But as he's shown before, Beamer is not afraid to exercise patience when making these decisions, on top of the issues we have with our board of trustees, but that's a different story. So stay tuned, y'all, because there are some exciting changes coming to Columbia. What a time. So that brings me to my six pack of picks, and then we'll wrap things up here. This is the six pack of picks championship game edition, starting with the ACC. Clemson versus UNC, give me UNC plus 7.5. Big 12, Kansas State versus TCU, I'm taking the over at 62. Pac-12, Utah versus Southern Cal, minus 2.5. Purdue in the Big Ten, Purdue versus Michigan, Michigan minus 17. I mean, Purdue just is like, they happen to walk backwards into this game, it feels like. I don't know. And in the SEC, LSU versus Georgia, this is a very interesting one because Georgia's going to the playoff no matter what. So the question is, are they going to come in highly motivated to win the SEC? Maybe a little redemption from last year, but who knows? I'm taking the over in 52.5. And then the group of five going UCF plus 4 against Tulane. But like I said already, Saturday is going to be a fantastic day. Not just for college football, but for sports in general and Carolina sports. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.